What you missed from Dave and Chuck the Freak on 101 WRIF. Brought to you by the Specs Howard School of Media Arts. Learn the skills needed for graphic design, video production, or broadcasting with a flexible schedule that fits your needs. Specs Howard School of Media Arts offers evening classes, meeting 2 days a week in classes, while the rest of your coursework is completed online. Visit SpecsHoward.edu or call 866-61-SPECS for more info.
WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Monday morning, Dave and Chuck the Freak live on 101 WRIF.
Trouble's begun.
Hey, man.
Yep.
Station down the hall is blasting it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what Andy walked into. Show.
It is. That's what I walked into.
I was like, sing it, Bob.
Yeah, so no Bob here, but we are here. Dave and Chuck the Freak, 101 WRIF. Well, winter has arrived. We'll talk about that as we check RIF news in just a moment. Lisa, of course, update the roads for you. What did a Michigan man do to his neighbor for stealing his chicken? Did a man pull off a Walmart heist by posing as an employee? And was a woman injured by falling plane poop? Also, celebrity dirt from the RIF Files, of course. David Bowie has passed away. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. All the rundown from the Golden Globe Awards and Idiot Criminal of the Day. A lot to get to as we get to our first check of RIF News in just a moment.
Checking in with the Morning Report.
I'm Dave Hunter. Time now for a check of RIF News, sponsored this time by the Mark C. Home Selling Team. Only one realtor says if you're not happy for any reason at any time to go ahead and fire them. That's Mark C. and his one-day listing guarantee. And with the Z guarantee, your home is guaranteed sold at a price you agree to, or Mark C. buys it himself. Click soldbymarkz.com. Well, the National Weather Service warned of some hazardous road conditions across part of the state yesterday, and we got it from falling snow and dropping temperatures. There were advisories in effect through most of the early part of the day in Detroit and Ann Arbor. Freeways were slick, causing motorists to drive below posted speeds. 2 inches of snow fell in some areas. Nothing major, but it was the transition from rain to snow.
Well, that's
that made it really slick in some spots.
Yeah, that's what happened all over by me. So it snowed, and like the kids were all excited. They were like, oh, look at the snow, because it looked like there was about an inch and a half of snow outside. And then you looked about a half an hour later, and it was, the snow was like gone, and it had just melted into what looked like an ice rink. So everything by me was just ice. The roads were all ice, and it was pretty bad outside. So, and then I was like, oh, don't worry, it's going to melt in like a day or so. And then I looked at the forecast. No.
It's just going to get colder as we go through the week.
Yeah.
High on Wednesday, I think, in the low teens.
Yeah.
What? That's the high?
That's the high.
Yeah. Today's high is 19, so it's not good times.
No.
Plan my coats.
Lisa's coat forecast. Bigger coat on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, she's Let's got see. Her super big coat.
Yeah,
that
we'll
she
have
wants
to see
to
if bust
she busts
out.
It out.
Yeah,
on
maybe
Wednesday.
I'll do it then.
If it's so frosty. But yeah, it wasn't a ton of panic. Like, remember, you know, I think people are okay.
Snow.
Now.
Well, I always think like snow, the best day to have like snow and ice fall, we Sunday.
Can. Yeah.
Yeah, when most people don't really have to go anywhere, do anything. That's the time to do it. But yeah, winter officially here, and there's snow pretty much scattered through the forecast through the week. Nothing major, but a little bit here and there. Drive-in was a little slick in spots. The off-ramp for me was not touched at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I basically slid through 8 Mile.
Yeah. Depends what city you're going through, Dave.
Yeah, it does indeed.
Yeah,
because it was pretty, it was
not
fine coming towards the city. Yeah, well, downtown, the left lane on 75 still snow-covered and off-ramp still kind of not in the best shape. So watch your speed as you're heading out there this morning. All right, in other news this morning, this is an interesting one out of Shelby Township where police officers were headed to a domestic violence call the other day. They get there. They see that these two brothers are fighting now on the street.
Mm-hmm.
One brother's on the other brother's car clinging for dear life as the brother's driving down the street don't even see, because the brother's clinging on the car, they don't see the police car there. And they ram right into it.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the story from Local 4.
In journalism school, you're taught many ways to write a story. One of the options is to save the best for last. We obviously are not doing that.
What are you doing? What are you doing ramming into my vehicle? I have my lights on. Stop it. Are you all right?
This was Thursday morning at 10:24 a.m. Shelby Township police officers were heading to a domestic violence call, a fight between two brothers. A fight that somehow put one brother on the hood.
Oh, he rammed that car, too.
Yeah, by nature, domestic violences are unpredictable. So you have to kind of, it's one of those fluid, dynamic situations, so you have to think on your feet. I don't believe that the officers responding when they turned onto the road felt that they would see a car with a half-clothed male on top of it.
Mark Coyle is the deputy chief of the township, and he says the part about ramming into a police car isn't the oddest part. It's when he tries to blame the officer.
No, you just crashed into my vehicle. I see you. You came up to me.
And then be indignant about it. Blame us for the accident.
We tried talking to brothers Minus and Starvo Habib. Minus is charged with reckless driving. Starvo
Minus and
with
Starvo?
Domestic violence. Both are out on bond.
Why would you take off the car on the hood of your vehicle? He wouldn't get off.
So, yeah. So he blamed the cop. He said, you came up to me.
No.
That's not obviously, we can see in the video, not how it happened. He was simply driving and couldn't see a damn thing because his brother was hanging onto the hood of the car.
Yeah. What's your end game when someone's like, I mean, you're trying to kill him when you start driving with someone on the hood of your car?
Obviously, the Habib brothers are crazy.
Yeah.
He wasn't driving too fast.
No. I mean, fast enough to send him flying.
That dude's leg was between those cars. That wouldn't have been good.
No.
No, it could have been much, much worse. Yeah. And the most damage is done to their car, not the cop car, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Shattered the front.
Yeah.
So that was bad.
Yells at the guy, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, serious right now? I guess.
Like, you know, good boy. Somebody's getting tased.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Taser time.
Yeah. I got two guys here to get choked and tased.
They just rammed me.
The Habib brothers.
Minus and Starbo again.
Yeah.
Minus and Starbo.
Starbo, yeah.
I'm sure they get up to no good together. The poor Habib parents.
Oh, they're just like...
They're going to do what they're going to do.
Oh, Minus and Starbo!
They never get along. Never get along.
Yeah, I'm sure their parents had quite the day after that. This is a nice all-American throwback crime. It sounds like it happened in 1840s Iowa.
Okay.
Not Michigan of today.
Yeah.
But 53-year-old, it sounds familiar to me. I don't know if we did this story before and now it's just the follow-up, but Tyrone Gardner of Ludington, Michigan was grilling some chicken. This happened.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
A few years ago. He walked away for a few minutes.
Yeah.
When he got back, one of the pieces of chicken was missing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He was pretty sure his neighbor had stolen it. So he grabbed his pitchfork, went over to the guy's house, and stabbed him with the pitchfork.
Yes.
Now, the guy was hurt, but he survived. Tyrone got the hell out of town. He's been on the run for years, and they just found him. Like, he stabbed a guy over stealing his chicken with a pitchfork, and then... got the hell out of Dodge.
So he's been on the run for years.
Years. This happened.
Chicken stabbing.
Huh.
That's crazy.
So the cops finally found him. They arrested him. He pleaded guilty to attempted assault with a dangerous weapon. He was just sentenced to 1 year in jail. There is his mugshot right
there.
Wow. So stabbed that guy and then hit the railroad.
Can I be honest right now? I don't steal his chicken.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Look at that guy. Look at that guy.
You don't steal that guy's chicken. Mm-mm. He made his chicken.
Fill in some chicken. Yeah, no, he needs all that chicken.
How quick am I on my feet when I'm like looking out the window? I see you out there, Dave. You're tending to some chicken.
Chicken grilling time.
Yeah. And then you're like, I see you go inside. And I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, okay, I think it's done. I think his chicken's done. And I just hop the fence and just grab a piece and run.
Can you imagine, though, just like you're barbecuing a couple of steaks, so four steaks on there.
Yeah.
I go inside for a minute, I come out, there's three steaks.
Yeah.
What?
I'd call the police.
I would think it was like paranormal. Yeah, or paranormal.
Ghost, no mistake.
Like something crazy happened.
These aliens aren't joking around, you guys.
They do love cows.
No.
So after years on the run for the pitchfork crime, they got him.
Huh.
They finally got their man. And he's going to spend a year in jail because of it.
Mm. I mean, later. Even still, I thought the pitchforking, like pitchforking someone, was an overreaction.
To the chicken crime?
It is, yeah.
I mean, slap someone across the face.
Sure, kick him in the nuts.
Yes, but pitchforking someone.
Don't stab them with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
That hurts. All right, so everyone was talking about was the Powerball lottery.
Yes.
It was everywhere all weekend long. People were so excited leading up to Saturday night's draw. Got over 900 million.
Yes.
And then, boom, no one won the jackpot.
No.
So Wednesday night, they estimated to be $1.3 billion. So Chuck DeFreak, you said when it's a billion, let me know.
I'm in.
You're buying tickets.
Yeah, I'm in.
You have to play.
Come on, you have to.
I'll be honest. I played. I decided to play
night?
The Saturday night one. Well, because I got like a couple feverish messages on my phone and I know it was my, okay. So my mom was texting me, but I know it was the Bryster trying
to relay
the message.
God, to type.
Do you know, listen, do you have any idea how much money that is in Canadian? It's 900 million US.
So your dad was texting
you. I would be a billionaire. And he's got something figured out because, like, you know, in the States, they take all your taxes away. Well, in Canada, lotto winnings or whatever, it's not taxed. You end up getting a bunch back. They were like, well, we would make a lot of money.
So they were like, Charlie, you gotta get us some Powerball tickets. Go get them.
So I went to the store and I got him some Powerball tickets. But then I was like, I'm here. I'm doing this for the first time ever.
Yeah,
give me some Powerball tickets.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And so I think my parents ended up winning $7. They got three numbers. They had like the first three numbers. Can you imagine when you're like, 16, okay.
Exact same thing happened
19.
To me.
19.
Three numbers, $4.
Oh.
Oh.
$4.
A little different than the billion.
Yeah.
Or millions.
Yeah, I won $8 because I had the number 13 twice on my ticket. And so I got
weird.
If you get the Powerball, you win $4. I think you won $7, by the way. You might have won seven bucks.
Oh, okay.
Bucks.
I thought from looking at it that I think you won seven bucks. $7 is great. It'll help me buy some of my $1 billion tickets.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I mean, but now, come on, this is ridiculous. Someone like made a point about like the population of the United States. And if we all just went in on it and said, hey, we'll split it, we could all be millionaires.
How's that possible?
Because there's only 330 million people in the States.
So everyone put in $1.
Everyone buys a ticket.
That wouldn't be a million each.
I don't know.
No, their math is off. The math's very off.
The math's
mucho grande off.
Yeah. Well, it was Twitter. You can't trust it.
Yeah.
But I was all in for it. I was like, yeah, let's split it, everyone.
No, if you raised to buy every single number, I think that's what you saw. If you bought every single possibility of numbers, there's like 3 million possibilities.
Okay.
So if you need 3 million, you know, you need to raise that money to buy every possibility to guarantee that you'd
hit. So you get together with like 1.5 million people.
Right.
And you all throw in some money and then you just split the winnings. Mm. Boy, oh boy, though, if you lost.
Well, not to kick your optimism in the groin, but here are some ridiculous things that have better odds than winning Wednesday night's Powerball, $1.3 billion. You're 25 times more likely to become president of the United States than win the Powerball.
Yeah.
Winning would be like flipping a coin 28 times in a row and getting heads every time.
Which is nuts, really. Like that to me was the easiest way to like break it down of how hard it would be.
You're four times more likely to be hit by an asteroid.
<What's up? laughs> shoot.
You're 508 times more likely to become a billionaire any other
way. Just a legit way, yeah.
Than actually winning the Powerball.
But someone's got to win.
Right.
Guys, you know what's going to happen, though, right? I mean, when someone wins this thing, it's going to be like 35 people win. I really feel like it is.
Can't be just one.
It's going to be four or five people that split it. It can't be one person. Imagine it's one old person from, you know, wherever, New Mexico.
But I haven't heard people talk about the lottery this much in forever.
No.
It's insane.
No. Listen, so I went with like 2 hours to spare before the draw. The place I went to, which is just some random place on the corner in the middle of nowhere, was jammed.
Mm-hmm.
Jammed. Like everyone realized, I think I should do that. And it was funny because it was like chicks in pajamas, guys all disheveled. Like
they realized, crap, got to get the tickets.
It hit them, you know, like. How do you not put your name in for a $1.3 billion coming up? Just to say, while I put my name in. Mm. I don't know how you don't.
You buying tickets, Andy?
No, I haven't.
No, he's not.
Dude, my luck's not really that.
No, you're not
good. I've never, won something.
Yeah.
I'll play if I remember.
Yeah. I haven't talked to my dad in 2 weeks, which means he's like, who knows what he's up to. He's probably got some scheme. Yeah. He's probably got 20 tickets.
Trying to get money to buy some more.
He's like, this is it.
Well, here's how you win. You're the only person to enter. Some lucky dude who dared took home $2,000 worth of prizes. He was the only person to enter a Michigan contest celebrating Bay City's 150th anniversary.
Stop.
He was the only person to enter. But they made it kind of hard. You had to complete 25 activities in Bay City and then get them to stamp a passport at every single thing in order to be entered to win the prizes. One guy did it.
Hmm. That's kind of genius, right? I mean, it would suck to spend all that time in Bay City. But... But if you live there and you're willing to just do these dumb things that they wanted you to do, you had to know it was going to be low. No one's going to do it.
Well, he got restaurant gift certificates, a year-long gym membership, T-shirts, pass to sail a tall ship, and a bunch more. It was well over $2,000. No, in total, cash in prizes, over $2,000.
Oh, I thought you said $200,000.
No.
Okay.
It's Bay City. Come on. Bay City doesn't have $200,000.
The big numbers threw me off. $2,000.
But here's the thing. So he won, that's the top prize. He also won the 10 runner-up prizes because he was the only one to enter. He received 2nd through 10th place as well.
That's how to win right there.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sure they were like, well, this was a bust.
Yeah. Here you go, Derek. Thanks.
One guy
could
wins
you imagine?
Everything.
No, but think about, you know, we've done some things where we wanted people to enter, you know, when we did our little song and, you know, we picked a Friday Bitches song or whatever. If you had only one person enter your little thing, you'd be furious. Mm-hmm. You'd be furious.
Oh, I'm sure, because I'm sure they sold it to all these places that donated prizes. Like, oh, we'll send people to your business. They'll all want to take part in this contest.
Yeah.
And one guy.
One guy.
No.
Yeah. They won't be doing that next year.
They will not.
City.
Bay City.
You've embarrassed Bay City.
Yeah, they have.
Just
they
when
really
you thought
have.
It couldn't get any worse. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, there is more Riff News, celebrity dirt from the Riff Files on the way, and Idiot Criminal of the Day, all next here on Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Previously on Dave and Chuck the Freak.
I am glad that my daily commute doesn't take me on I-75 over the Rouge River Bridge. Crews have been working to repair a massive hole.
What's scary is there's more than one.
And you can see down to the bottom. Channel 7 has more. Take a listen.
The hole big enough to see from Chopper 7, the latest pothole on the Rouge River Bridge has frustrated drivers.
I already replaced 2 wheels because of the big potholes, and I lose control every time I hit a pothole.
I'm thinking he's saying buttholes.
That's a lot of potholes.
I hate bridges as it is.
How many buttholes need to form on this thing
for it to be fixed?
They're trying to fix the buttholes that are on those other two bridges.
But no one's fixing any buttholes at all. We're like one of the worst cities for buttholes everywhere.
I know.
All they try and do is plug the buttholes.
What's your job?
We plug the buttholes all over the roads because we have a butthole problem in Metro Detroit.
Speak some black goo in it.
It's Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Good Monday morning to you. It is 6:39 here on the 11th
day of January. Dave and Chuck the Freak on 101 WRIF. Road's still a bit slick in spots, so watch your speeds out there on this early drive-in. Lisa Way will check the roads for you in a second. Chuck checks the forecast. Looks like there's still a bit of snow. Nothing major, but still some snow through the week. And we'll continue with Riff News and celebrity dirt from the Riff Files. Unfortunately, David Bowie passed away. We'll have the details on that. What happened when Ricky Gervais roasted Mel Gibson at the Golden Globes last night? Plus, did Sean Penn help them arrest El Chapo? crazy story. All that, an idiot criminal of the day. It's all on the way as we continue with Riff News in just a moment.
It's Dave and Chuck the Freak.
I could see a little Lisa Way doing this.
Okay.
Maybe a little Stella doing this. But a three-year-old boy was just found driving a motorized toy truck on a Florida freeway.
What?
3 years old. Driving his motorized truck down the freeway. Here is the story from ABC News.
The speed limit between 44 and 55 miles per hour. US 19 in Crystal River can be a dangerous place for those behind the wheel. But a little boy decided to try and drive it for himself.
It's pretty sick.
On his
ride.
Big wheel.
Little kid just looked like bewildered.
These pictures show this three-year-old right after several cars boxed him in. But the little boy wasn't having it and tried driving off again.
He's got places to go.
How could he have, where did he come from either?
Citrus County deputies say the little boy was able to unlock a door at his home Wednesday morning and escape while his father went to the bathroom. Wearing just a diaper and a shirt, the little boy was able to make it a quarter of a mile away from home on his motorized big wheel.
This is horrible. I mean, I could not imagine. I really started thinking about my daughter, and I couldn't imagine her being out on the highway like that, driving her big wheel.
The little boy's father showed up on a bicycle to the scene. Deputies didn't charge him, but DCF is now investigating.
The scary part of it, and any parent that goes through something like that would just be sick to their stomach.
The little boy was not hurt.
He escaped a disaster. He really did.
In Crystal.
But you said, Stella's got out of the house.
Oh, yeah, Stella.
Without you knowing, right?
If the freeway was close enough, Stella would be on the freeway. if her big wheel had enough juice, she'd be gone.
Yeah. It's crazy for a three-year-old to wake up and like, I'm out of here.
Well, it's Florida. I've got to get out of Florida.
If she put it together that she could drive her big wheel to Target... I wouldn't see her. There'd be like 2-3 times a week she'd be gone. She would just.
It's scary. It's one thing I thought of, luckily, I think Zane once opened the door and went outside without us knowing, but you just like, you leave your little kids in bed and you think, God, I hope they don't try and break out.
Take
off.
Because it doesn't matter. I mean, you can lock all my doors, Stella knew how to unlock those doors when she was tiny. She just click, click, I'm out.
Yeah, I took off before. Once.
I think most kids do it at least once in their life. Till they get the fear of God in them.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the Bryster would have... If I took a big wheel out on the highway... Oh, look, you found him. Thank you, officer. Let's go on home, little boy. I love you so much. And close the door. And, well, now you're dead.
Yeah, because you made the Bryster look like a jackass, right?
I think I knew I couldn't pull that crap.
Yeah.
I think the Bryster was... I couldn't walk on a road. You know what I mean? Like, I would, look at the edge of my grass as a child, oh God, well,
his
it's
face
like
would
lava.
Appear.
Yeah. The Bryster catch you with a toe on that road. You're dead.
Yeah, luckily that kid was fine. But a three-year-old driving like a motorized big wheel down the street would cause you to stop and panic, I'm sure. You would think that if a cook at a restaurant lost the tip of his fingertip and they couldn't find it, they'd shut that down, right?
You know where it is. It's in the food, right, Dave?
Not at a California Applebee's. A pregnant California woman has filed a claim. She found a bloody fingertip in her salad at the restaurant in Paso Robles. Kathleen Martin says that she was with her husband and child at the restaurant. Everyone took some of her Chinese chicken salad. She bit into something tough and realized it was a bloody fingertip.
And someone had indeed been missing a fingertip.
The manager confirmed the fingertip belonged to a cook. A letter from Applebee's says the restaurant can't force the cook to undergo tests, but a spokesman says the cook has volunteered to undergo screening. The claim is just the beginning of a lawsuit. It's seeking unspecified damages, medical expenses, and lost income as well.
You kind of shut everything down and throw all that away when you lose your fingertip and can't find it.
Unless the cook didn't say anything.
Well, the cook obviously didn't say anything.
Well, maybe the cook did. And they were like, I'm sure it's in the garbage.
And he didn't because he was like, they're going to drug test me if I say something.
Oh, maybe. Because they can't.
If you get hurt at work, they'll drug test you.
Yeah. And you're going to fail that test. Applebee's.
Because I would assume that if that happens and they can't find it, they just got to like shut it down, right?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we can't serve food right now because there's a missing fingertip somewhere.
My roommate was making a salad and cut her finger, top of her finger right off, and she couldn't find it either. She was like, it's in my salad somewhere.
Oh, but her own salad.
It was her own.
Mm.
And she found like a little...
Not as gross, but still quite gross.
No, but I mean, I guess it's fairly easy, obviously, to do when you're making a salad. I've never made a salad in my life, so I have no idea what the process is.
Well, you got to chop a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
When I worked at the Red Lobster years ago, one of the girls lost a fingernail doing the shrimp scampi.
Yeah.
And they had to throw out, like, the entire batch.
Well, but that's... And that... Thank you.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do.
For doing that.
Yeah.
Instead of just hoping to God no one notices that they chowed down on the top of a finger.
Bad day for
imagine you had a finger in your mouth.
No.
Like just a bit.
No.
Yeah. That's like an almond or something that won't. Nope.
Because you'd know it wasn't right. You just try and figure out what it was, though. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Police say a man posing as a Walmart employee took over a cash register, checked a couple of people out, and then took all the money and fled. The man, who was wearing a fake Walmart vest, entered the store in Fairfax, Virginia, told the cashier that he was needed in the office. The man then took over the register, even checked out a couple of customers before stealing all the cash that was in that till. He then left the store and drove away in a silver Honda. There is him in his fake Walmart vest. This happened about a week ago. The cops there just released the details, including surveillance images. He was described as 5'9", weighing about 180 pounds. That's kind of a smart, if you can pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because, I mean, I would have no idea how to check anyone out. You know, so he's obviously worked in a place.
That's pretty easy to figure out. I mean, you just scan, total.
No, I know, vest, but though. I mean, they're always doing stuff with the, well, the vest part is.
It's easy.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I guess maybe.
You get a Walmart vest.
Could you go on eBay and order Walmart vest?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure you could find it, right?
I bet there's a Halloween costume of that.
Walmart vest. Let's see.
Oh God! Yeah.
Oh yeah!
You can
look,
buy the
so
legit
many.
Ones. But
okay, so that's easy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the easy part. But to me, it's like, you know, I don't know. I always looked at those registers, and I thought there was like something you had to do to make them come open. You had to like know what you were doing.
Well, he did it right though. He rang someone through, and then when they pay, it opens.
Oh, okay.
So that's
yeah,
smart.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't even have any idea how to like make sure I could get in. So he's either real dumb luck or he had some experience.
Man, or some insider info.
Yeah.
Because I know when I worked in retail years and years ago, you still had to enter your employee number before you could begin a transaction.
Right. But also, I don't know what it was like maybe for James at Meijer, but don't you know everybody that works at Meijer?
Or is it so big that some people you don't run into?
You might not know people working in different departments, but like if somebody were to say, hey, so-and-so needs you in the office, you would know the person who's telling you to go meet with that person in the office.
That's what I thought, too.
That'd be really weird if some new person would just go, hey, Bob needs you in the office. Get away from the register. I'm going to take over. I'd be like, who are you?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me to leave?
Yeah, you look like a stranger off the street that bought a vest off of eBay. Why are you taking over my register?
God, doesn't everyone working at Walmart look like that, though? Like, well, they all look like just vagrants. They slapped on some vest over top of their outfit.
It looks a little more special than the other ones that are already there.
Yeah.
That guy's got enough Jedi powers to overcome the weak-minded Walmart.
Yeah,
cashier.
You're right.
He's like, you're needed in the office. I'm needed in the office.
And he seems to get away questions. From the Walmart register. Jordan from West Bloomfield used to work at a Walmart, and he's joining us on the Riff Lines. Hey, man, how are you?
How's she going, eh? Okay. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Let's try this out.
Okay.
I used to work asset protection for Walmart. I used to, you know, the plainclothes security guys.
Mm-hmm. That's one, me too!
You have to have an employee ID and a passcode to access a register, period, to get in. When you go on lunch, if you don't put in your passcode to log out, your supervisor will automatically do it for you. So either this guy recently got terminated from a store, or he knows somebody that works there, and they gave him their login information.
Right. I was thinking inside job.
The guy that he, you know, said that he is needed in the office, if he left his number in there.
Right. I mean, you could do it like that, but you can't. I mean, you know, you memorize your numbers. It's not like a swipe card or anything. You're manually inputting.
Yeah, but the guy who left would have had to, I don't know, I'm assuming however you do it, but like log out of the register, right?
Unless you said, like, it's an emergency, you got to go right now.
That's what I mean.
Unless it's an emergency, you got to go, but usually there's a fail-safe to that. Somebody somewhere will log you out.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan.
Within 2 minutes.
Thanks for calling in, man. You have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
So they call it asset protection.
Yeah, I'm a Walmart asset protection officer.
Yeah.
Not Walmart security. They changed that since they fired that guy.
I'm sure they did, yeah. Imagine a falling ball of frozen crap hitting you on the head.
I don't want to.
A woman in India suffered an injury when that exact thing just happened, and they believe it was from a passing airplane. Rajani Gaud, a 60-year-old woman, was struck by a block of ice poop. It actually contained human piss and poop.
Yep.
Dropped from an airplane flying over the area.
Isn't that like being hit by a bomb? Like, is she dead?
Oh,
she
should
be dead.
They call it, they said a monster came crashing down. Children and villagers witnessed it and heard the screams. They rushed her to the hospital. This ball of ice poop hit the roof first. Otherwise, it would have smashed her skull, they said.
Okay, so it bounced
off a roof
first.
And then hit her.
Okay.
And they say it was likely blue ice, a term referring to waste dropped from an airplane bathroom.
You know, I love, though, that airlines are like, that never happens. It just can't happen.
Nope.
There's no way for poop to fall out of the sky. I'm sorry, it's not us.
Yeah, they say it may have leaked from the plane and then froze on its way down to Earth.
Leaking.
Yuck.
We hear this every couple of months. Wasn't there one in Michigan recently, too?
Think about a leak, though, okay? Because so they're saying, well, it could have leaked and then frozen. Well, yeah, but what is the leak? Like a gigantic blob?
Oh, it'd have to
release the whole thing for it to form something to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah, wasn't there like a party with... somebody had a party and poop fell
out.
Yeah,
it was the barbecue, right? Was it here?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was.
There was one here, too. I'm not sure if that was poop or just, like, debris from
a
plane.
I think it was
But then there was another one, where they had one of those gazebos, and it was just shattered with poop. It was a birthday
party. It was a birthday party.
And it just rained down poop on everyone there.
That's a bad day.
Mm-hmm. It's a pesteroid!
Yeah. That's an absolutely horrible day. When it poops on your birthday party...
It's a sheetier.
That can't be a good sign. a British teenager died from using too much deodorant.
What?
He used cans of deodorant instead of showering. And they say he died from inhaling all the gas.
Oh, my dad should die any minute now, then.
Well, your dad showers, though, but he probably uses
it normal.
If you knew how much he sprays that spray deodorant.
You said it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like walking into a gas chamber.
They found 42 deodorant cans in 16-year-old Thomas Townsend's room.
According to his mother, he would spray half a can of deodorant on himself every day instead of taking a shower.
Well, that's extreme.
He'd go through about a can a week.
What was his opposition to showers?
Sorry, deodorant doesn't cover everything.
It does not.
You've got to clean yourself.
Clean your crevices.
The cause of death was circulation collapse caused by inhaling the gas.
Wow.
His system was totally free of any alcohol or drug signs. The death was ruled an accident. They say he sprayed deodorant all over himself and died because of the effects of the gas.
Mm. I gotta give the Breister heads
no,
up.
No, you definitely do. But he's been using it for years,
yeah.
Right?
And he's been using it since there was, like, no rules, right? Like, air it extra dry in 1970,
right?
I'm sure was a dangerous combustible chemical.
He's tough, your dad.
Yeah, the Breister, so that's what bred him.
Yeah, they weren't worried about the ozone or the greenhouse effect or anything like that.
And my dad, like, there's probably a hole right above my dad's home.
I just can't believe, I didn't even know they still sold spray-on deodorant.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was still a thing.
Yeah,
I've never, ever used it.
I've tried to get the Breister to, like, I'm like, try these sticks.
He doesn't like it.
Boy, it's not for me.
Did any of you guys use spray-on deodorant?
I did, like, the whole time I was young.
Did you? Because of your dad?
Because of my dad, yeah.
Last time I used it was when I had a free bottle of Axe. Now it's the only one and only time I ever used spray-on deodorant.
Yeah.
I like the stick.
Always been with the stick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you are dry as a whistle with the spray on.
When you spray that on.
I like the clear gel, actually. No deodorant stains.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need white stuff to block all this up.
I need goops.
Yeah.
Mine's like a paste, a heavy paste. Plaster it on.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a little different than dainty little Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, I see through clear gel.
Yes, you're seeing this.
Don't get on anything. There is a little town in upstate New York called Whitesboro, and their official town seal seems outdated. I'm amazed this is still their seal. Their seal is a picture of a white guy choking an Indian guy.
Oh, my God.
That's their seal?
That is still, to this day, the official town seal. It is absolutely
their town
seal.
Whitesboro.
Whitesboro has a white settler choking a Native American.
Parks and Rec. In Pawnee, they have, like, the mural of the city, and it's all, like, really bad, violent things that they did to, like, Indians and stuff.
Stop.
Yeah, but this is real life, James.
Come on, that's
so crazy.
Honest to God, this is legit. People in Whitesboro are defending it. They say
of course they are.
It's not doesn't appear to be the same thing. It's probably just them having a friendly wrestling match.
The Undertaker chokeslams people, and there's nothing friendly about him. He's wrestling.
And that guy is definitely Undertaker finishing moving that Indian fella.
So Native finally American today,
get
after
Whitesboro, for God's sakes.
This is Whitesboro.
Jesus. Right there in the title.
Finally today, the town is having a vote after people have complained for years and years. People will get to decide if they want to keep this logo.
They're going
to
keep it.
Of the white guy choking the Indian guy, or get a new one.
There's only, in that village, there's only 5 Native American residents.
That's 5 too many. That are being choked out. If I'm, like, being choked out in the town logo.
Imagine how they feel.
What am I doing in Whitesboro?
Like, every day they're just like, yeah, beautiful Whitesboro.
Should we leave? If we leave, they've won.
If you want to see it for yourself, just Google Village of Whitesboro logo. And you'll see it. But yeah, it's a white guy choking out an Indian.
It's amazing in our politically correct world and the, you know, that you see things like this still.
Well,
like it's unbelievable, really.
Totally Whitesboro is. Hoped that this would just never come out. Like, they're like, listen, no one will ever look at our seal. They won't know.
No one cares about our seal.
You know, like, does Detroit have a seal? Like, do we all have seals?
And
we
just
don't
idea.
Yeah.
We don't know about anything about seals.
Detroit City.
I have like a family crest.
Seal.
I know that, but.
Yeah, I know Detroit has
there,
one for sure.
There it is right there.
What? It's someone carjacking someone?
So it's not.
So we got 2 strippers on ours.
That's
it.
That's the official.
Oh, okay. Now it looks
seal.
Familiar to me.
Yeah, now you probably realize.
How do you. Like, how is someone carving out, like, a white guy choking out an Indian guy?
I'm not sure. But it still exists. But today, they'll decide whether or not they're going to keep it. I'll have to follow up and see if they get rid of it or not.
They're not going to get rid of it because this is the way towns are.
How in 2016 can this still exist?
Because everyone that lives there in Whitesboro, of course, it's called Whitesboro, too. They're all for, you know, that's been the way it is. And it's always about tradition and, you know, traditional win out. You watch.
They're just wrestling.
Yeah, there's only five no votes for sure.
We're the only seal to capture the truest of historical events because we had all kinds of fun wrestling matches with them.
Yeah.
Native American fellas. That's how we got here.
That's how we got their land. We wrestled for it.
We had, and we had guns.
It's just a tickle fight.
Oh, man.
It's a tickle fact.
All right, time to get to some celebrity dirt from the Riff Files this morning. We're going to talk Golden Globes in just a moment. But first up, this was kind of completely unexpected. David Bowie died yesterday.
Insane, out of nowhere.
At the age of 69. He apparently had cancer for a while.
18 months.
Never heard that. Yeah. Had you?
No, none of us have.
Kept it a pretty good secret. The official statement said David Bowie died peacefully today, surrounded by his family after a courageous 18-month battle with cancer. While many of you will share in this loss, we ask that you respect the family's privacy during their time of grief. Obviously, Bowie was a rock icon for over 40 years. His career incorporated glam rock, soul, pop, and electronica. Big breakthrough was the 1972 album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and The Spider from Mars. That's the one with Starman, Ziggy Stardust, and others. Ziggy Stardust actually kind of became his alter ego for a while, too. The pale white makeup, the big orange hair. And he had other personas and styles over the years. Basically, he was doing what Lady Gaga did 40 years before Lady Gaga.
Well, like all the bands, you know, there'd be none of that. There, you know, what Kiss did, what, you know, Bob Dylan did in 75, what, you know, any of these guys, Marilyn Manson, you know, it all stems from Bowie. In fact, most good music of today you can draw a straight line right back to David Bowie.
Yeah. He only had two number one songs in America, which kind of shocked me. Yep. Fame in 1975 and Let's Dance in 1983.
Yep.
But he had a ton of other classics. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996. He got the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2006. And he did a bunch of acting, too. He played an alien in The Man Who Fell to Earth, a vampire in The Hunger, the Goblin King in Labyrinth.
The best.
And he was also in The Last Temptation of Christ. His real name was David Jones, but he changed it so he wouldn't be confused with Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Yeah, true.
He married the model Iman in 1992. They were still together. They have a daughter. Bowie had a son from a previous marriage, too.
Are they still together?
Yeah, they're still together.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
His most recent album was Black Star. It just came out this past Friday, which just happened to be his 69th birthday.
Yeah.
But he passed away yesterday.
The bass basically said the album was just like a gift to fans, and like he knew.
I heard it's pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's the best thing he's done in years and years. I hope he got to hear that people enjoyed it, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the Golden Globe Awards were held last night. Typically one of the more fun award shows.
Yes.
Of the Hollywood award season. Anyone see...
I did. Yes.
Not a second.
I watched quite a bit of it.
Not a split second.
Nope. I watched like 10 minutes of The Arrivals with my wife and was like, ugh, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm just so done with that stuff. I just can't watch any of it
anymore. Mean, I don't like it as much as I used to, but there were a few moments that were pretty good. And I thought Ricky Gervais
was good.
Yeah.
Well, he was, of course, the host again last night. And the one bit everyone's talking about is when he roasted Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson actually showed up. And if you missed it, this is how it played out on TV last night.
Okay. Right. Listen, this is... Shush. Shush, shut up, really, seriously.
He's got a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few years ago on this show, I made a joke about Mel Gibson getting a bit drunk and saying a few unsavory things. We've all done it. I wasn't judging him. But now I find myself in the awkward position of having to introduce him again. Listen, I'm sure it's embarrassing for both of us, okay? And I blame NBC for this terrible situation. Mal blames, we know who Mal blames. Listen, I still feel a bit bad for it, right? Mal's forgotten all about it, apparently. That's what drinking does. I want to say something nice about Mal before he comes out. Oh, yeah, okay, here you go. I'd rather have a drink with him in his hotel room tonight than with Bill Cosby. Please, Malcolm. Mal Gibson.
So Mel Gibson comes out.
Oh, my God.
They actually kind of hug it out. And he takes Ricky Gervais takes his beer away from him.
Holy crap, Mel Gibson looks a million.
I love seeing Ricky once every 3 years because it reminds me to get a colonoscopy.
Yeah, Mel Gibson looks old. So that Ricky Gervais comes back out on the stage again just to kind of say, you know, what the hell was that?
You left your drink here. Yeah, you don't need to leave your drink here. I'll put you to sleep another way, son of a bitch.
Listen.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Oh. I think we all want the answer to this.
So they bleeped this out, but he said, what the F does sugar tits mean?
Thanks, Ricky, for your input.
Look at this shocked gay man in the crowd. But
he actually dropped an F-bomb in the live broadcast. Like Ricky Gervais said, he said the full F-word when he asked him that question.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Everyone was swearing last night. They were bleeping it out.
Trying. Imagine the Golden Globes. Everyone's sitting drinking through. Yeah. That's why it's like one of the more fun award shows.
Oh, that's hilarious. Ricky Gervais is awesome. He has huge balls to go out there and just rip on everyone.
He doesn't care.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that about him.
Because he doesn't care if they invite him back. In fact, he said he would never do it again, but then he's back.
Because they doubled probably what they gave him before. Money talks.
Yeah, he said that. He's like, yeah, they're paying me double what they paid Tina Fey.
Yeah,
and
he ripped
Poehler
on that. Oh, yeah.
He's like, and I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Other highlights last night, Ricky was responsible for another awkward moment. He introduced Matt Damon as the only person who Ben Affleck hasn't been unfaithful to.
Ouch.
Jamie Foxx pulled a Steve Harvey. He accidentally announced the wrong winner for best original score, said it went to Straight Outta Compton, but then they weren't even nominated.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Sylvester Stallone got a standing ovation. He won best supporting actor for Creed, but didn't thank the star or the director. And Lady Gaga won last night, too, for American Horror Story. But she bumped into Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Look out.
And I have to see if I can find this, but Leonardo DiCaprio's reaction was pretty awesome. He looked like he was laughing at her, but then he looked like it was like, oh, God, Lady Gaga.
He's like, that's how you get bed bugs.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you're no supermodel.
I'm trying to see if I can find it here, but I thought I had it sent to myself. Mm. There it is, Leonardo DiCaprio, Lady Gaga. It's one of the first things if you search on Twitter that you'll see. And look, he's looks a little off when she hits him. Here it is. So she bumps into him and...
Oh, yikes.
Ooh. He's afraid of her.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, Leo was one of the big winners last night, best actor for The Revenant. The Revenant also picked up best drama and best director, so they say it's a big Oscar favorite now. What's surprising to me, and I have been meaning to see this movie and I haven't yet, but The Martian with Matt Damon was nominated for best comedy.
It's hilarious.
Oh, I didn't know it was a comedy.
It's.
I had no idea.
I
thought it was a dramatic
either.
Movie about him being stuck there.
It is.
Don't give anything away.
No. It is, but he's very funny.
Hmm.
And
but the movie is not is.
The movie is, you know, he's trapped.
Right.
But he kind of is the type of personality to just make the best of things.
Okay.
You know, and
I see that.
So he has like. You know, when he talks back to, like, Earth and making logs, they're funny. He's funny. Okay. He's got a lot of funny lines.
Okay.
I thought it was
so bizarre yeah, that too. It was nominated for Best Comedy, but he won. And I think maybe, you know, because it was in, if he had been up against Leonardo DiCaprio, he wouldn't have won.
No.
Right? So if they're nominated for Oscars together.
He's got no chance.
He doesn't. But he did win Best Actor for The Martian. Leo won it for The Revenant. Jennifer Lawrence won Best Actress Musical or Comedy for that movie Joy. And Brie Larson won Best Actress Drama for The Room. Sylvester Stallone won Best Supporting Actor for Creed. Kate Winslet, Best Supporting Actress for Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs was also Best Screenplay.
Hmm.
Even though it bombed at the box office,
yeah.
It did pretty well. Best TV Drama, Mr. Robot, which I've
what
heard
is
amazing. A couple of people have told me. I finally downloaded it, and I've seen the first episode. First episode was great.
What network is that?
USA.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's why I never heard of it.
Yeah.
And John Hamm won for Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Best Actor.
Yeah, I was happy about that.
Those were the biggest awards of the night last night at the Golden Globes. By the way, if you want to see that clip of Lady Gaga and Leonardo DiCaprio we're talking about, I just tweeted it out. So go to twitter.com/Dave and Chuck. You can see it there. So we almost forgot about El Chapo. I figured he'd never be found after breaking out. A huge Mexican drug lord captured in 2014, but escaped from a Mexican prison over the summer, Shawshank style, through a tunnel his people made for him.
Yeah.
Back in October, turns out, Sean Penn secretly met with El Chapo at an undisclosed location and interviewed him for Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
It's an interesting story. Penn and a Mexican actress who helped set up the meeting took two plane trips, a long ride through the jungle in a convoy of SUVs, and more just to get to where El Chapo was.
Yes.
Along the way, Penn stopped to pee. And he said, with his dick in his hand, I do consider it among my body parts vulnerable to the knives of narco types. Take a last look at this, guys, before he tucked it into his pants. Well, Rolling Stone put the piece on its website Saturday, but on Friday, he was rearrested in a gun battle with Mexican authorities. There's talk that Sean Penn could be in trouble for what he did, but there's also talk that the interview helped them find El Chapo.
Well, see, now what I've heard is that there was a Mexican official that came out now and said, no, we didn't know. We didn't know anything about the Sean Penn thing. But when the Sean Penn interview came out, they basically said, oh, that's how we found him. You know, they didn't want to be embarrassed. But now the Mexican authorities want to talk to Sean Penn because they didn't really know. And they want to know if, like, he broke any kind of laws by, like, maybe he knew where this guy was and didn't say anything.
Well, obviously he did, right?
He did,
I mean, shouldn't he have given authorities the heads up that he was going to interview him? If you're going to visit this guy, you're eventually going to know where he is.
Right. I mean, but at the
There's
same time,
there's got to be some sort of law there that's being broken.
If they catch wind that you talked to someone, you are so dead and not, easy dead.
I didn't know the full story, and I thought that possibly Sean Penn did give the authorities his location after this interview and was responsible for helping to take him down.
Right. No.
And then I thought, well, Sean Penn is dead, you know.
Absolutely. Because El Chapo will have him killed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Don't you think he's still in danger because he's associated with this?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's crazy, Sean Penn. That's insane. Could you imagine going out to meet that guy? You're going to go interview him?
No. And
you're on your way in a jungle with, what are you doing?
And he said that, like, El Chapo, like, he talked about, like, everything they did, and he's like, El Chapo gave him a big hug when he got there, and then they had, like, catered Mexican food, and, they drank a bunch together, and then he explained to him everything about the business.
And it's just come out too that El Chapo apparently was contacting other actors about making a movie about his life.
Mm. Well, I think there should be a movie made about all this.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
It'd be super interesting, but
yeah, Sean Penn's got to lay low.
I'll be honest.
He's going to end up dead.
Yeah. I don't think that movie gets made until El Chapo's gone.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have any part of a movie-making experience that El Chapo didn't like. Mm-hmm. Imagine you made the El Chapo movie
and he didn't like it.
No.
Oh, man.
You wait for El Chapo to pass, and then you make the El Chapo movie.
You think
I totally agree that I think Sean Penn's life is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should have
high security right now.
Yeah,
because, I mean, unless the whole, unless it's Sean Penn's camp saying, hey, we need someone out there saying that it wasn't me and that they didn't know. Because that's the thing now. Everything is, oh, no, they didn't know about the Sean Penn thing. Because you're as good as dead. Even if, like, I would assume anyone around El Chapo who didn't manage to save El Chapo from the cops, they're all dead.
Right.
Right. You're right. His whole team that was with him now, they didn't, obviously weren't successful in keeping him hidden, so they're gone. Right.
That's the way I think.
That's crazy.
It's amazing that he went to do that interview. That dude has balls. If El Chapo wants me to interview him, sorry, El Chapo. I'm going to take a hard pass on that.
Oh, dude, the second El Chapo knows who you are, it's not good.
It's 50-50. You better hope he likes you.
Yeah.
Well, I think he did, and that's why he agreed to the interview. Mm-hmm. You know, his ego is like, oh, yeah, interview me. Like,
fooled and me Sean once, Penn. Sean Penn.
Shame but on you. There's something off with Sean Penn, you know, obviously, to go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of troubles. No question. He's insane. But even Rolling Stone, I'm amazed they couldn't get in any trouble, you know, for knowing that this was going on and not contacting the authorities to say, hey, we've sent Sean Penn in to interview El Chapo. I'm just amazed that none of this leaked out or was reported to authorities before now.
I mean, this kind of stuff happens, right? Like there was one guy who interviewed Osama bin Laden like a long, long time ago. He's on CNN now all the time. But he managed to get, like, set up one of these things where they blindfolded him for 3 days and all of a sudden he was there. And it's like, you know, I think as a journalist, you have some freedom to do some stuff. But I don't know.
I mean, if they can just, all they have to do is say that, dude, they blindfolded me and I didn't know where I was going. I had no idea the location.
Yeah, which I think is what he'll say.
So Star Wars The Force Awakens took in another $41 million over the weekend, led at the box office for a fourth straight week, beat out The Revenant, which was its first week in wide release. The Revenant did well, though, too, took in $38 million. So Star Wars, of course, as we mentioned, has become the top grossing movie in U.S. history, now with $812 million overall. Avatar's number two with $761 million. Also, along with that pushed Harrison Ford to the top of the list as the highest grossing actor in U.S. box office history. His 41 films have taken in $4.7 billion. He was in second place. Samuel L. Jackson was number one with $4.6 billion. But thanks to Star Wars The Force Awakens, it's now put Harrison Ford in the number one spot. Samuel L. was in all three Star Wars prequels, so that obviously helped his numbers too, and not to mention the Marvel movies.
It's the Marvel, it's all those Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. So it's Harrison Ford, Samuel L. Jackson, and then Tom Hanks, Morgan Freeman, Eddie Murphy is number five on the list.
Shrek.
Of the highest grossing actors of all time.
Yep.
Then Tom Cruise, Robert Downey Jr., Johnny Depp, Michael Caine, and Gary Oldman.
Hmm.
Their movies have made more money in the United States than anyone else.
Hmm.
Harrison Ford, the fact that he was Indiana Jones
that's
and Han Solo, by the way,
speaking of which, so my wife has never been a Star Wars fan,
and we saw Star Wars, The Force Awakens with the kids, and so we're talking about it afterwards. She's like, I really liked Harrison as Hans Solo.
I'm like, what did you say?
I'm a Han Solo.
Hans Solo. I'm like, no.
Hans in front.
No, honey, he's not German. It's Han, space, Solo. There's no S at the end of it. She's like, oh, I thought it was Hans. I'm like, have you always called him Hans Solo?
never said it much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hans Solo.
I thought, well, it would be funny with an accent.
It changes the whole movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like talking to Chewie in an accent.
He would have been the first Jar Jar.
You should have seen me take the Kessel Run. That's right, Chewie. That Leia's got sweet hair.
Hans
different. Solo.
Mm.
All right, coming up in just a moment, our idiot criminal of the day. Did a massage parlor owner help cops bust his own rub-and-tug business? Tell you about that after Chuck the Freak Check Sports. Sports brought to you by attorney Daniel Moss. Download Daniel's guide of telltale signs to see if your spouse may be likely to cheat on you and his 8 steps to take before filing for divorce for free at dmosslaw.com. That's D-M-O-S-S law.com. So the Wings, they took on the Ducks yesterday. Riley Sheehan scored with 3 minutes and 44 seconds remaining in the third period to give the Wings a 2-1 victory over the Ducks on Sunday night. It's their 5th straight win. Thomas Tatar also scored, and Peter Mrazek in net again made 30 saves for Detroit. And that was to end their 4-game losing streak against Anaheim. Corey Perry scored for the Ducks. So a good win for the Wings. So the Lions hired a new general manager, Bob Quinn. Didn't do the same old, same old. No, not the same old, but it's still the same old Lions. So I'm not really sold that it's going to be the right move.
Comes from the Patriots?
He comes from the Patriots. He worked for the Patriots for 16 years.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. He is going to apparently decide, I think we might find out today, that what Jim Caldwell's future.
Now, will that be your determining factor on what you think?
It's definitely one of them. Because I feel like if he doesn't change. Okay, well, there's a lot that could be going on. But I feel like if he doesn't change Jim Caldwell after starting 1-7 against good teams, but finishing strong against crap teams, then I feel like his hands are a little tied. And that's not what I want.
You don't want hands tied. You want
I don't want hands tied. I don't want, like, Martha Ford in the background saying, he's a very nice man. He's a very nice man, and I would hate to see him go. And then he's around. Now, if you legitimately don't think there's anyone else out there that would be anything better than Jim Caldwell, well, I guess it's just bad timing. And if guys like Calvin Johnson, who have basically said they'd retire, if maybe this is a play to keep Caldwell, you have to kind of weigh it out. You know, I don't know. He's got a lot of big decisions coming up, though. Calvin Johnson's going to be making $24 million if he doesn't retire against the cap. And, you know, we'll see how he drafts and all that stuff. It's just tough because this is like the time in a Lions fan's life where it's like we're supposed to just be all in again. This time it'll work. This time we got it right. So I'm desperately trying to fight that.
Well, they're going to make it official this afternoon, right? They have a press conference.
Yeah. And then that's why I think we'll find out that Jim Caldwell's coming back as our
probably
coach today. Yeah, that's what I think.
The idiot criminal of the day.
When you're doing something illegal and then you become the victim of a crime, you got to realize you just got to suck it up and take the loss, right? You can't do anything about it. A guy named John Sherman owns 4 massage parlors around Milwaukee with names like Oriental Massage and Asian Massage One. Well, he called the cops when someone stole $300 from one of his massage parlors.
Yeah.
The cops eventually tracked down the thief, but the thief said, listen, I stole it because one of the masseuses jerked me off. Then took the money from me. I was taking the money back. Well, of course, that led to an investigation of all of John's massage parlors. Undercover cops went into all of them. They were offered happy endings at every single one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
John, his wife, and 2 of their masseuses were arrested on prostitution charges. 2 of the masseuses escaped back to China.
Oh, wow.
But John and all of his businesses have closed down. This is the guy running the Robin Tugs. Look at that guy's mugshot.
Well, I got caught.
You can check out his picture at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com. And then these were the 2 masseuses, Kui Mi Zong.
Okay.
And Fen Quing Sherman. Not the hottest looking rubbin' tuggers I've ever seen.
No.
Then again, I've really never seen a rubbin' tugger up close. I don't know if they all this bad.
I don't know.
I don't think so. They all got problems, but
I'm a feeling Fen Quang's real name is not Sherman.
No, though. the reason I know that they're not is because I had a couple buddies that would hang out at one of these places. I'm sure they did stuff, rubbed and tugged him. But this was like a place in downtown Windsor, and it was like Eastern European chicks with tragic tales, I'm sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Fen Quang and Kui Mi have had rough lives leading up to the, you know, performing rub and tugs in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
But they got the hell out of Dodge, and they're back in China now. But that guy, over $300. For $300, he lost all three of his businesses.
Yeah, if you're doing something illegal, don't you just say, that's part of business?
And you cut your losses at $300,
because
the next guy's going to pay $300 to get jerked off, and you're back in business.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. For them, $300 is steep.
Maybe that's why he took his money back.
Yeah.
Hey, Fen Quang.
Yeah.
That wasn't worth $300. No. The 73rd annual Golden Globe Awards were held last night on NBC. Sylvester Stallone was there. He said he hasn't been to the Golden Globes since 1977.
Wow.
Of course, times were different then. Star Wars was all the rage. The Middle East was a mess. And a Democrat everyone hated was in the White House.
Oh,
totally
way.
Different times. Totally, totally different.
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette is going to write an advice column.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully your daughter won't ask her what to do with her boyfriend in the theater.
I don't know.
Let's take advice from her.
Bad
and
advice.
Finally, the temperature at kickoff of yesterday's Vikings-Seahawks game in Minnesota was 6 below 0.
Yeah.
Or as Chuck the Freak's bedroom calls it, steamy.
Yeah. Boiling.
Those are my thoughts, not yours. I'm Dave Hunter on 101 WRIF.
Dave.
I've been peeing on him for a few weeks now.
Chuck the Freak.
It's free, but sometimes extra hands go in your butt.
Lisa Way.
I think everyone's gay.
Chuck the Freak on the Riff.
We're taking a break when we come back on this Monday morning. A clumsy listener had a bad accident with his grandma last week, and he feels really horrible about what happened. It's tragic. Up next on Dave and Chuck the Freak, we want to know, have you accidentally injured a relative? We'll head to the Riff Lines when we return here on Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Previously on Dave and Chuck the Freak.
What's your biggest non-sex fantasy? This guy said, I've always dreamed of singing karaoke and having the crowd go wild.
Boy, that's not something I've dreamt of.
Buy a karaoke machine and then sing in your house. And
it's a very attainable
the
goal.
The crowd will go wild for you.
Now, Lisa,
I speak from experience.
Yeah.
I used to have a Filipino friend bring over all his equipment for my parties, and then I just said, forget it, I'll get my own.
Easy, Filipino friend, leave your technology at your house.
He'd do the announcement.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes.
Hello to everybody. It's a big party time here at Reese's house.
He would say, God damn, a lot.
Oh. God damn, that was good. Here comes a Reese away. These boots are made for walking. Dang it, Reese.
These sound like the worst parties, right?
No, I think they sound amazing.
They sound insane.
Dude, every time Lisa has talked about a party at her house on the air here, I've been like in my heart, been like, I want to go to a Lisa party so bad.
It's Dave and Chuck the Freak.
At 7:34 on a Monday morning, it is Dave and Chuck the Freak back here on the Riff on this 11th day of January. You know, the Riff store has reopened for business with an all-new line of apparel for men and women, an all-new Dave and Chuck the Freak clothing, coffee mugs, travel mugs, and more. Go to riff.com to order or stop by our studios in Ferndale to pick stuff out for yourself. Coming up in just a second here on the show, a clumsy listener had a bad accident with his grandma last week that he feels pretty horrible about. Up next, we want to know, how have you accidentally injured a relative? We'll head to the Riff Lines at 248-544-WRIF, 248-544-9743.
101-WRIF. Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Have you accidentally injured a relative? That's the question for you now on the Riff Lines at 248-544-WRIF, 248-544-9743. The toll-free number, if you want to reach us that way, it's 1-855-9743-101 or text 49743-4WRIF. A listener had something pretty horrible happen to him. He said, hey, guys, I've listened to your show for years. Never had a chance to email you. Unfortunately, I do now. Had something really bad happen last week I had to share. I'm a tall guy. I sound just about as clumsy as Dave. You know, I was over visiting my 97-year-old grandma last week. And when I was walking over and trying to lean down and give her a hug, I tripped on a rug.
Oh, Jesus.
And came crashing down hard on grandma.
Oh, she can't take it.
Turns out I snapped her arm.
Ooh.
Yes, I was visiting my grandma and I accidentally broke her arm. I feel like a total jackass. I feel horrible. I was just wondering, though, if anyone can share my pain.
Oh, I'd feel terrible.
Can you imagine breaking your grandma's arm, leg, anything? Hurting grandma in any way?
Yeah.
Like, Andy, your poor grandma, if you took a tumble on her.
I mean, I take my time with hugs.
Oh, yeah. You set your feet.
I'm like, set your feet. I'm like, I get a wide base.
Yeah.
I make sure nothing's going to happen.
Athletic stance.
Yeah.
And then hug.
It's smart. That's a smart thing to do. But a frail 97-year-old woman, I mean, it doesn't take much, I'm sure, to snap those bones. But a
if any one of us is going to kill an old lady by mistake, it's Dave.
Oh, come on. That's horrible.
No question about
it. You know what? I was thinking about this topic, and I'm so thankful, knocking on wood, that I've never, besides, like, hitting my little nephew into a light fixture once.
Uh-huh.
I've never really
killed anyone.
Yeah, injured a relative.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm amazed, honestly amazed, that I haven't hurt anyone in my life.
Like, because Dave does a few things, like putting a jacket on for Dave is a big thing.
Big wingspan,
you know?
Right?
So he's, when he puts it on,
I've punched people on planes, like accidentally.
Yeah.
I brushed boobs, I've done all sorts of stuff, but I don't realize, you know.
Right.
How wide my arms go out.
You could understand, though, like the tripping. Like Dave tripping. I wouldn't want to be near Dave when he's tripping.
No.
Dave would. He'd topple me like a like an oak tree.
Yeah, this 6'5" frame comes stumbling towards you. Look out.
An old lady doesn't stand a chance.
No, she doesn't. So I'm just very thankful that I've never, you know, any of my grandmas through the years or parents, I've never hurt anyone. Small children.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I haven't hurt anybody yet either, right?
Oh, geez. Man.
But it can happen. And I'm sure pretty easily. And judging by the riff lines, it happens quite a bit. So how did you accidentally injure a relative? 248-544-9743. The first text here. Watching the Wings win the cup in 2002. I gave my dad a great big bear hug, cracked one of his ribs.
Oh,
that's a real hug.
That's a crazy hug.
Yeah.
Hunter on Twitter said, hit my cousin in the eye with an airsoft gun a few years ago. He wasn't wearing safety glasses, ended up with a lifeless eye.
Oh, he's got
a lifeless eye.
Yeah, you don't want to get shot in the eye.
No good.
I mean, by anything.
Oh, I would be so pissed at you if you gave me a lifeless eye. I got to go through the rest of my life with a lifeless eye.
Oh, sorry, Dave, about giving you that lifeless eye.
That's okay, Chuck. You son of a bitch.
That's the worst part, when the person can't take you seriously after that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that, bitch.
I'm Pirate Dave.
You know, the good thing is, we can't even notice it.
Don't even see it.
Oh, yeah, I don't want a lifeless eye.
I realize I'm going to hurt Rowan. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to hurt Rowan. I'm not going to mean to, but I know it's going to happen because I've had so many close calls. Mm-hmm. Like, I've already hit him in the forehead with a hard ball when we were playing catch, and he missed it, and it hit him right in the forehead.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's happened. And then, like, yesterday, he's into all of a sudden doing running football routes, and I have to throw him a football. So I'm throwing him a football, and it goes right between his hands and just smokes him right in the face. And he's laughing, but I'm like, okay, he's laughing, but I will kill him one day if this keeps up. I cannot keep hitting him in the face with balls. That sounds weird, huh?
No, right. Yeah, okay, come on. Yeah, but it's just...
I know, but if he
anyone's
going to
injure their kid, dude, you would think out of the two of us, it would be me. But so far, and we play football and baseball.
Yeah.
And
I think it might be because I'm slinging it in there like Matthew Stafford.
Oh, are you?
You have such force.
I'm like, you better learn to catch, boy.
Your NFL strength arm, is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Well, it's not that hard, but probably for an 8-year-old, it might not be.
Brewster Jr. here.
Yeah. God, catch it.
That's where you learn that from.
Comes from somewhere.
Exactly what it happens.
You do.
Comes from somewhere.
Let's go to the riff lines now. We're talking about when you accidentally injured a relative. Ricky's up first. Good morning, Ricky. How are you?
What's going on, guys? You doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Thanks. So what's your story?
All right. So back in high school a couple years ago, sitting there with my buddy, he was using his pocket knife for something. I wanted it for something. Like, hey, Jesse, give me your knife. He goes, no, I'm using it. I said, give me your knife. He says, no, I reached out and grabbed it and stuck him right in the palm of his hand. And he ended up having to duct tape his hand so he wouldn't go get no stitches. But I accidentally stabbed my best friend.
How did the duct tape healing work out? Was it okay?
It honestly healed up fine. He's got a little bit of a scar, but there ain't nothing for me. The mechanic, his hands look like they've been through worse stuff. So.
Right. Yeah. All right, Ricky. Yeah, I'd be pissed if you accidentally stabbed me, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Suck.
I'm too big a pussy. Just, like, duct tape it.
Oh, yeah.
Hospital with a paper cut.
Dude, it's...
Get me there. Any stitches and drugs.
No. You're not macho enough just to suck it up and...
No, duct tape my injury.
I mean, it could have been bad, right? Yeah. You bleed out, you get an infection, all sorts of things can happen. That's why...
When I stabbed my own hand, I didn't tell a soul. I just held it shut. And just waited for it to sort of stop bleeding and didn't tell a soul. Because I was so embarrassed about sticking a knife all the way through my hand.
How did you do it?
I was sharpening a knife at my buddy's house in his kitchen. He had like one of those sweet sharpening stones.
Yeah.
And he had a paring knife. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm holding it in my hand like this and sharpening the blade, and I went right through here. You can see the little scars right there. It went all the way in. Like, the knife just went right to the handle.
Just, were you planning on doing some cutting, or are you just doing sharpening for fun?
Oh, sharpening.
That's so weird. It's sharpening knives at your buddy's house, like, for fun?
No, I was, like, really young.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was, like, I don't know how old I was, but I wasn't.
You shouldn't have been playing with knives.
I shouldn't have had a knife. And so I had to rinse the knife, put it in a dishwasher, and hope to God no one found out.
You had stabbed yourself.
Yeah.
Jared from Lapeer. Hi, good morning. You're on with Dave and Chuck the Freak. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Balls, Wiener, Lisa.
Balls.
Accidentally balls. Injured a relative?
Yeah, so my sister's wedding, she had it was a quarter mile from her house, so she had a golf cart taking people back and forth from a parking lot to the wedding ceremony. Well, me and my nephew were having fun. He's 12. And we're doing some moves on the road, and I shot his, you know, little butt off that thing, and I broke both his arms.
Oh no!
Oh yeah!
Oh, how old was he?
He was 12.
Yeah. God, you broke both of his arms.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the wedding or anything, was he?
Oh. Yeah, he was. He was in the wedding. He was like one of the ushers. So his left wrist and his right elbow. So it was a fun time. I just got really drunk because everybody was mad at me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, everyone's
you break
mad.
Up someone's arms right before the wedding.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, it could have been exactly what happened to me. Thanksgiving, playing with my 2-year-old cousin, throwing her in the air. Didn't see the ceiling fan on.
Oh.
She went up with red hair, came down with much redder hair.
Oh.
Thanksgiving ER visit, 20 stitches.
Jesus.
You'd feel like the biggest jackass. I mean, I didn't really injure, you know, maybe give him a slight concussion, but he was fine. No blood or cuts. And I felt like the biggest jerk in the world. But in the ER with 20 stitches on a 2-year-old.
Yeah, it's awful.
To be careful.
Oh, you'd feel so bad. Like, honestly, how bad would you feel when you did that
so
to a 2-year-old? Just joking around.
Anyone young, yeah. Can't even imagine.
So horrible.
Mind you, I could probably throw you from underneath the ceiling fan as high as I could, and you probably still wouldn't reach it.
See, that's the difference.
Yeah.
With my height, I'm stupid. I realized, though, never. Luckily, I mean, not luckily for him, but I learned on my nephews and cousins, and so then I never did it with my own kids.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, I'm not taking that chance with them.
Yeah.
I've made my mistakes. This one, helping my grandma put up her Christmas tree. Her stand is the style where you have to slam the tree down on the points in the center.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the first time,
went to stab it again and got my grandma's fingers under the stand on the concrete driveway.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Fortunately, she was just only sore afterwards. Felt horrible.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Tough ass.
Grandma screaming. Oh, I think I've just crushed your fingers to oblivion, too.
Yeah.
And old fingers don't
heal. Old fingers just turn to dust.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Jeff from Detroit is with us next here on the Riff Lines. Jeff, have you accidentally injured a relative?
Oh, yeah. How y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning, man. What happened?
Well, years ago, I was riding up grass. I missed my turn, so I decided to make a U-turn. I had my kids in the back. And my daughter flipped out the car, and I actually ran her over.
Oh, no.
Is she okay?
Yeah. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. For some reason, I ran her knee, right over her knee. I don't know. It's just, every time I hit a speed bump, my stomach get queasy.
Oh, I bet.
Mm. Dude, what goes through your head when you've run your daughter over with the car? I mean, I can't imagine.
Nothing. It's just like, oh, my God, what just happened? Because it was cars coming. Though. You know, I was at Houston Whittier, so I made a U-turn. It was a dart in the back, but for some reason, he had my daughter on the door. But the door popped open. I just set the speed bump. And I was like, what the? They was like, she fell out. And I just knew I ran her head over or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, yep. That's what's going through your head.
I
thought
I was
going
to see that splatter. And I got out, but she was sitting in the middle of the street just calling for me. Daddy, daddy. And I ran and picked her up. Cars blowing at me. Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah,
but her leg's fine. She's had no lasting problems from it.
Nothing. It was just a scratch over her side of her knee. I must have ran right over her knee. You know, she was on the ground. It must have, you know, went right over her knee.
Huh. Horrible, but turned out to be lucky. Real lucky.
Yeah, it took 10 years to stop even, oh, man, feeling queasy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sure. Oh,
I'm sure.
But as her, I'd be like, I'm not going back in the car with Dad ever again.
No.
All right, Jeff,
well,
thanks, man.
You can't sit by the door, but all right.
Have a good day, dude. See ya. Yeah, you'd be cautious, yeah. I think.
Buckle in.
Yes, seatbelts.
Yeah.
Then, well, I mean, honestly, yeah, we never did.
No.
No, are you kidding me?
There was like six of us in the back of a car.
We were allowed to like crawl around. I'd jump from front to back.
Mm-hmm. My dad would let me sit on top of the car, whatever.
Yeah. That's a little different.
Times were different. Let's go to Justin. Hi, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning. Paintball balls.
Paintball balls. So we're wondering if you injured a relative. Sounds like you did in a bad place.
Yeah, I never got him to believe it was an accident, but he just got this paintball gun, and he wanted to see what it felt like to get shot with this paintball. And so I shot it once, and it got him in the chest, and turns out he didn't have it sighted properly, and so he goes, do it again. So I aimed it up and popped one off, and next thing I know, he's laying on the ground. And that was what damned me so bad, was because I started laughing so hard and he thought I did it on purpose. You know, just shot him right in the nuts.
Okay, so my question is to James.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask him too.
Because we did the paintball challenge here a couple months ago, and I had a paintball gun and I was aiming for your nuts, but you had like a steel cup on.
Yeah.
I hit you, though, in the kneecap and it hurt like a mother.
Yes, it did.
Can you imagine if I had to hit you with a direct contact paintball to balls?
I feel like it would have blown my sack to oblivion, and I would have had my testicles hanging out in the courtyard.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, when the one that hit me in the chest, like, it exploded the skin of my chest open, and I had, like, a bullet hole in my, like, right by my sternum.
Yeah, like, there's no question. Your balls, I don't think they can be hit.
There'd be way too many balls on the field, you know, if that were to take place.
Oh, you'd know it. I mean, even if everything stayed inside, it would be the worst pain I think you could ever imagine. Outside being actually shot with a real bullet.
My crotch would look like Vietnam if I were to hit the paintball in the mouth.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's making me sick thinking about it.
It was hard trying to hit you with a cup on. There's no way I ever would have intentionally fired at his balls.
No.
Hitting him in the knee, I felt like a jackass, and then started to bleed a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, because blood was there right away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, it was. I mean, the chest one was just open. It was an open
wound. Yeah, I
still
have a little mark, too.
You do?
Yeah, it's still a little discolored. You can see where I got shot.
Now, did I hit in the chest, or did the blind chick hit you in the chest?
I don't remember. I got hit by so many balls that day. Can't keep track of them all.
Yeah. So true.
Just a normal day for James, hitting with balls. Yeah. All right, so let's go back to the riff lines. We want to know, have you accidentally injured a relative? And let's hear from Benson, who's up next. Hi, Benson.
What's going on, guys? Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew. Tell us, how have you accidentally injured a relative?
Oh, it wasn't so much a relative, and actually it was me who got injured. About 10 years ago, me and three buddies went up to Gibraltar and got one of those blow darts.
Mm-hmm.
The ones with, like, the little 20-gauge needle.
All righty.
Yep.
And so we were shooting it at the back of my car. Next thing I know, I go down to one knee, and there is a blow dart about an inch and a half into my butt cheek.
Oh.
And I lost complete feeling of my left leg for a week and a half because the needle hit a nerve.
Oh.
And I had to walk around the first week and a half of school on crutches.
Mm.
Wow. I'd be worried I'd done permanent damage.
I thought that I was going to be in a wheelchair. My leg fully pulled up and would not release.
You know, it's funny. I had like the same thing happen to me and no one believed me when I was young. I went to like a doctor and I got a shot in the butt. Okay. And then one of my legs, it was like it wouldn't work anymore. And they must have hit something just like that guy. And I was like, everyone's like, yeah, man. I'm like, no, seriously. What the hell's going on? You know? And
from your butt shot?
From a butt shot.
Hit a nerve
or something. Shut my leg off.
That's no good.
I went to sleep and then I woke up. My leg was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank God.
Michael from Jackson, not Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Michael from Jackson says, I'm 30 now, but I was playing basketball with my dad as a 10-year-old. Dad came down with a rebound acting like Dennis Rodman. Elbowed me straight in the face, flattened my nose.
Mm. Oh, geez.
Three surgeries later, I still have issues sleeping and breathing.
Oh.
Thanks a lot, Dad.
Oh, you've got me, though. Yeah. I do that to you as a kid. I'm putty in your hands. You can get whatever you want out of me for the rest of your life. You just simply point to your nose, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You get whatever you need.
My dad did this. Well, not that, but my dad hurt my sister. And I'll never forget it because he still feels horrible about it. He slammed my sister's hand by mistake inside of his 1975 Monaco or whatever. So she had her hand like in the door and he just walked out and slammed it, and he heard her scream, and he knew right away
what he'd done.
And I think it broke her pinky finger.
Ouch.
You know, but she could, all she had to do was point at the pinky finger.
Mm-hmm.
You're, what do you need?
go ahead. That's how you get the price.
Yeah,
for,
that is.
You pull at his heartstrings.
He didn't hurt. Well, he hurt the rest of us too, but different.
Alex from South Lyon. The question is, have you accidentally injured a relative?
How's she going there, eh?
How's she going, eh?
Yeah, so when I was like 12, I was playing golf with my family. My mom was walking ahead of me when I was teeing off, like the first hole. Like, not really even done anything yet. So she's walking, and I go to tee off, and I shank the ball right into her leg.
Mm. Oh, and you hit mom with a golf ball? Was she okay?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. She actually played the entire 18 holes with us. So, like, she just kept walking, no problems. And to this day, I'm 25 now. She still has, like, the dimples from the golf ball on her calf from where I hit her at the golf ball.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
I'll tell you what. If you walk anywhere in front of me on a golf course, you are taking your life in your own hands because Chuck Luck dictates, I will shoot the ball right at you. I mean, it is. It's true. I had a friend who was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, dude. And I was like, okay, listen, if you're going to stand over there, just go behind that tree. He went behind a tree. I hit the tree.
Mm.
And so I was like, see?
Yeah, we were in a golf cart together a couple of years ago, and I thought for sure you were going to kill me, too. I thought Chuck Luck is. He's joking around pretending to get in an accident. We're going to flip it, and I'm going to die under this golf cart at the Riff Golf Hour. This is how I'm going out.
Good times.
Dave pinned to death under Chuck the Freak's golf cart.
It's going cold now.
Dave, just hold my hand. It'll be over soon.
I just see a light, Chuck. I don't know.
Go to the light, Dave. It's better than what I've done to you here.
They had such a promising future before the golf cart incident.
Yeah, we had only been here a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And boom, done.
Dave, your legs aren't attached anymore.
Tragic. Chelsea, hi.
Hi, penis balls, guys.
Penis, talking about when you've accidentally injured a relative.
Yes. Me and my cousin were on my boat about 5 years ago, and he fell off the bow, and I ran him over. His only casualty was his big toe. Mm. They were able to reattach it, but it was pretty ugly.
Mm. Yikes. So it went right through the propeller, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. He was on the bow, and he had a beer in one hand, and his life hand slipped, and he went off the front. And you can't, there's no brakes on a boat. So
no.
I ran him over. It was the worst day of my life. But, yeah, his foot was pretty mangled, and his big toe was, like, completely off, but they reattached it. Oh. And it was funny because I had hurt my ankle at the family reunion the weekend before, and all he kept saying was, "We can have crutch races now."
A good sport, because I don't know if I would have been okay losing. I mean, it could have been so much worse. I mean, a toe is the best possible outcome. But, yeah, consider yourself pretty lucky.
I'm also not going to Leonardo DiCaprio it at the front end of a boat with a beer in my hand.
No.
I fell off the back of a boat. But
that's safer.
It is safer because, I'm luckily out of the way of the propellers by the time I'm in the water.
Yeah.
But I can't even really remember how it happened. I just know that one minute I was on the boat, and the next minute I'm in the Detroit.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know why Dave loves boats so much, because it seems, with Dave's makeup, that a boat is the most dangerous thing that you could go on.
Mm, I love being on the water. I've always loved it.
Like, you went on a cruise.
Dave's got to strap in, man.
You gotta strap
him in.
He went on a cruise. If anyone's going to fall off a cruise ship, it's Dave.
Oh, I'm cautious, though. I mean, I don't go really.
Oh, yeah, don't.
The railing or anything.
Yeah, you stay back.
You need a harness.
I'll tumble. I know it. Yeah, we hit like a wave, and somehow I lost my footing, and boom. It's real easy. Much easier than you think.
Yeah. Well, I knew a guy that he fell in and no one knew. And then it was like a while later, and then they went back and they found him floating in the water. Pure luck.
No, thank God people saw me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to have been just floating in the Detroit River for too long. I was in for long enough.
That tainted water changed my life forever.
Changed my life forever.
Dave's pooping and puking at the same time again.
Lewis, good morning. You're on with David Chuck the Freak. We're talking about if you've accidentally injured a relative.
Ripcord. Yeah, I accidentally slammed my ex-girlfriend's grandfather's fingers in a door twice.
Mm. Mm. The grandpa?
Yeah, the first time I heard some type of moan on the other side of the door, so I'm thinking you're just playing a game or something. So I pulled harder, I felt resistance, thinking the door was broken. Then I heard him yelp. It was loud. They had to drill through his fingernails.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah, they got to take the pressure off.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
The first one is the only one. That was something's wrong with his door.
let me try slamming it harder.
Still nothing.
Grandpa?
Yeah.
Grandpa, are you okay?
But, Grandpa, say something for God's sake.
Don't just moan.
Old people just moan. Tell me you.
My fingers are in there, you dimwit.
You don't say something. Don't just. I just think you're got gas or something.
Oh. Door's making weird noises. Better slam this harder.
Door.
Oh, man. Like fingers, human fingers will give way.
They will. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
Jennifer from Flat Rock, have you accidentally injured a relative?
I have, unfortunately. My mother and brother had been grocery shopping, and it was snowed while they were gone. I went outside to help him carry everything in, and when I opened the door, my brother had fallen. So he was only like 6 or 7. I went to help him, and I didn't realize that where I was walking was slippery, and with full force fell down my front porch steps and kicked him right in the balls.
Oh, that's like a WWE kicking the balls.
Yeah, he just slid in the ice across the sidewalk, and then my mom had to come help both of us on the ground.
Oh, help him first. He's gone down, and then he gets kicked in the balls.
Yeah, yeah, it was terrible.
Worst little day ever in his life.
Yeah. Mm. He's like, 6 years is not a good run.
No. this one, jumping on the trampoline with my 9-year-old cousin. I'm 6'5", 220 pounds. Oh. Everything was going well until our jumps got out of sync.
Yep.
And I accidentally super bounced him 15 feet in the air off the trampoline. Broken foot, family barbecue ruined.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, imagine you're just like, damn. You see the kid, like, and you know he's doomed.
That's a bad combination. 6'5" and over 220 pounds.
You're going to put Dave on a trampoline at the same time as a little kid?
I've done it.
I know. I don't super bounce.
Oh, it's dangerous.
Well, think about it. I bet you did it. Remember you were at that lake and they had the trampoline?
Yeah.
So, like, you could probably jump on the trampoline and said kids flying into the water.
I sent Aiden into the water.
Well, imagine they were landing just in the backyard.
No,
this is not good.
Back to the riff lines we go. We're talking about when you accidentally injured a relative. Let's head next to Nick from Rochester. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What happened?
So when I was about 5 years old, my dad was trying to teach me how to play golf, and I didn't know he was behind me, so I swung the driver, and I shattered his nose.
Oh.
And then my mom, she was cooking, and she thought it was me bleeding. So then she ran out the screen door and broke it. And then my dad had to set his nose in the place so he can go to the hospital and stop the bleed.
That's a tougher man
than
me.
We always default to Chuck's dad, the Breister. But, Chuck, if you had broken the Breister's nose...
I better just keep hitting him.
Finish the job?
Yeah.
You got to finish the job.
I better... If I club my dad in the face, I gotta keep clubbing him until he stops moving. Because when he comes to...
You are a dead man.
Yeah, know? Yeah. Yep. It'd be slow, and it would be over. No.
I feel like I'm like days away from injuring my girlfriend accidentally because she found out I'm ticklish.
Uh-oh.
She doesn't understand that I'm like a 300-pound bull.
Yes.
You know?
You don't tickle the bull.
And I'm like, I broke a table already doing it. I'm like, you're going to die. I'm like, stop. I can't control it.
Oh, she likes it, huh?
Yeah, she thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. And I'm just like, the whole time, I'm like, she's going to hit her head, get a concussion, knock an eye out of her skull. I'm like, I don't know.
So when she tickles you, you have a visceral just like, reaction.
I'm just throwing limbs around. And buck.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great noise you make.
Yeah, because I'm laughing.
She better be careful.
Yeah, I told her.
Jim from Auburn Hills. Hi, good morning. You're on with Dave and Chuck the Freak. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing good. Talking about how you accidentally injured a relative.
Yes. When my son was about a year old, I was bringing in firewood from outside to put it on the rack, and I had a load in both arms and a one log tumbled off, and my son was standing with his hands flat on the brick hearth, and the wood came down, hit his hand, and severed a finger.
Oh, jeez. You cut off your son's finger?
Well, nearly. It was dangling crooked.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So we scooped him up and rushed him to the hospital, and they sewed it back on. And he still has full functionality, but you can see the knuckles a little deformed. But,
so, Jim, I think then that he has something on you for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily he doesn't remember it. He does know about it because he can see it, but no, he doesn't hold it over my head. But what's funny, though, is that in the aftermath, everybody's first question was, oh, how's Jeremy doing? Oh, he's fine. Next question is, how's Jim doing? Is he okay? Because everybody thought I must be feeling so horrible.
Yeah, you would just assume. If I cut one of my kid's fingers off.
Sorry about
that's
that.
That's going to scar me, too.
Yeah.
Kristen from Commerce. Hi, Kristen. How have you accidentally injured a relative?
Hi, how are you? Penis.
Penis.
My son was about 2 years old, and it was Christmas morning, and he was standing in front of my dad, and he stood up real fast as my dad was sitting in the chair, and he shattered my dad's tooth and had to get a root canal and about $1,200 worth of dental work following Christmas. So it was quite an eventful morning.
Oh, when you shatter grandpa's tooth.
Yeah.
Grandpa's got to be careful out there.
Grandmas and grandpas, they're very fragile.
Yeah.
You got to be super duper careful around them. Although this one, she sounds like not as fragile. This one was accidentally injured by one of my family members. He was injured by his grandma. He said, "Grandma accidentally stabbed me at Thanksgiving dinner a few years ago,
right
in my stomach."
Oh, man.
It didn't go in deep enough to do damage, but it was still pretty terrifying.
Well, I tend to, like, try and keep everyone away because the Breister has, like, a turkey carver. One of those electric turkey carver knives from, like, 1972.
Oh, that's really,
like,
old school.
He keeps it on this shelf in the basement. And it's like, when it's time for turkey, he's like, "I'm going down to get it."
It still
it's
works,
like double
huh?
bladed. It's like double bladed. And it's like, and I'm telling you, it's terrifying. And I'm like, everybody back. Because this thing, I feel like he could just shoot blades out at any second. It's like that really weird, like, off-green color.
Oh, yeah. It used to be real popular.
70s green. Yep.
Puke green, almost.
Puke green. And it's every year since I've been born.
No way. I can't believe it still cuts.
I think he probably got it, like, on his wedding.
But he loves it.
It cuts, and it works, and
those things are like chainsaws.
But it is. It's, in fact, I'd feel less nervous if it was a chainsaw. Because it doesn't look safe in the least bit.
That green, you know, you can't trust anything that's 70s green.
No, you can't. You can't. Oh, I'll have to take a video of it next time.
Please. You just have to see that.
Yeah, because that thing is terrifying. Just the double blade action of it.
It's fast.
I haven't seen one of those in years.
Oh. Come to Thanksgiving, Lise.
Nobody can get it. You got to get him a new one.
Yeah,
I should. I mean,
them?
I guess
do
I
still
should.
Sell?
They probably do, but it's probably not like that. I know this one you're talking, like, do the blades go like this?
Yeah, they go in opposite motion to, like, just like.
I haven't seen one of those in years, though.
Anything that gets close to it is dead.
Right, because they are dangerous, right?
Yes, because anything.
I remember my grandparents had it.
Oh, yeah.
The same thing.
Like, the cord looks dangerous. Like, when I look at the cord, I'm like, that's.
Oh, it's going to catch fire at any moment.
No. I'm like, does that even work still? Do we have to get a new outlet for it to plug into?
It's so old, guys.
But it's his thing.
It's his thing. And he's real cavalier with it. Because it's been so it'll be on. It'll be like, and he's just like, "Hey, anybody?" Did you guys get here? I mean, you got him like, "Everybody back! Lester's got his knife!"
Dave.
Lick me, I'm delicious.
Chuck the Freak.
Guys, a bear rape me.
Lisa Way.
Give yourself the goatsy, and then you can get in bed.
Chuck the Freak on the Riff.
You know, Andy, you were talking about panicking about the being tickled thing. Well, good reason. This woman said, "Husband was tickling me, and in my blind panic to make him stop, I started kicking. I kicked him right in the Adam's apple, caused him to fall backwards off the bed head first."
Tickle fight over. That's what I'm telling you. I have weird fears of it because she's so little and low to the ground.
Yeah,
I'm
like, you'll just take her out.
And I'm like a bull, man. It's like Pamplona up in that bitch when she starts taking me.
It's the running of the Andes.
Yeah.
And she better look out.
Mm.
Okay, we're taking a break, but when we return, we'll get to Riff News. It is like what? It's 11 days into the new year.
Mm hmm.
We may already have the best TV news interview of the year.
What?
11 days in. It's from Oklahoma. And I had to research it because I
didn't believe it was real.
Really? It's that good?
But it's real. And I'll play it for you when we come back. Also on the way, that 43-year-old guy in England who got a bionic penis. He was supposed to get laid last week for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Something went horribly wrong.
Uh-oh. Stop. Stop it.
What happened to this guy? I'll share it with you. Also on the way, do you suffer from small penis anxiety?
Yes.
And do most ladies want to watch you spank it? We'll find out when we get back with Riff News right after this.
Thanks for downloading the Dave and Chuck the Freak podcast. Brought to you by the Specs Howard School of Media Arts. Specs Howard is focused on success with one-year programs in graphic design, broadcast, or digital media arts. Find out more at specshoward.edu or call 248-358-9000. The Dave and Chuck the Freak podcast, an exclusive of WRIF.com.